The question was asked, being as we're not supposed to bring in holy books into the bathroom, what happens if you have a cell phone and on that cell phone you have an app that has Tanakh and Siddur and who knows what else, other good holy works on it? Can you bring the cell phone with that app into the bathroom? So, we have to analyze the question and analyze the cell phone and the app and then understand why it's permitted. So you already got your answer. But let's understand what's really going on here. The prohibition is really to bring a holy text. So we treat texts that are printed as holy as texts that are handwritten. Technically, holy text is a text that was written with the intent that it will be holy. Meaning if an apostate or a non-Jew writes a Sefer Torah, it has zero holiness. We don't treat it with holiness either. So it's not only the text, it's the intent of the man writing the text that gives it holiness. So far, so good? Okay, so maybe it was a holy man who set up your app or put together your iPhone, one of those, someone in the Far East who's actually learning Talmud. Maybe. But that's not our issue here. There's another issue, right? So the people who set the typeset weren't Jews, right? People hired non-Jews all the time to set their typesets, and yet we treat our printed material as holy. So the printed word of Tanakh, or words of Talmud, words of Torah, in the broad sense, the printed words of Torah are treated as holy. What about the Torah on your computer? Let's begin with a regular screen. If we were to treat that as holy, you would never be allowed to scroll down. Because God's name is there. You have verses, you're erasing the verses, right? So what I said is, again, an oversimplification, because it does say that the teacher is permitted to write on the blackboard, or in their day, their version of the blackboard, he's permitted to write verses on the blackboard and erase them. So that is a source for writing words of Torah. When my intent is for them to be temporary, I'm allowed to write and erase them. So far, so good? Okay, so when we write Torah, so to speak, on our screen, or when we put up Torah on our screen, we don't treat it as written Torah in that sense. On the one hand, we should behave in front of it. On the other hand, we don't treat it as that holy as in we're allowed to scroll down. So we don't view that as a written piece of Torah. This gets a little bit more tricky when you get to the Nook or these other types of tablets which give you real ink. Meaning there's a game going on. Amazon put out different readers which work based on ink, so that when you shut off the screen, you still see the written text. Basically, there's a... Okay, we shouldn't go into all the electronics of it, but in a nutshell, they've devised a way to cause the ink to go up to the screen. The ink is basically charged positive and negative, and it tells the ink when to go up and when to go down. Now, what you're seeing is real ink. You're seeing a form of ink, right? A form of ink on your screen. So, with those, the Kindle, not the Nook, the Kindle. That's where you start seeing real ink. And nonetheless, we still say all of that was with the intent of being temporary. All of that is written for a temporary basis. The question is, while it's written, does it have holiness? So that's a big question. And there's room to discuss. When the screen still has words of Torah, would you be allowed to bring it into the bathroom? And the same for a computer screen. Even though things are temporary, but right now they're there. Right now you have words of Torah there. On the other hand, when you have a little diskette, or what do they call those things? A memory chip, which has Torah on it, that's not written in the form like we write Torah. That's written in code, in computer language. So you don't really have Torah there. So this question was really asked to Rabbi Feinstein many years ago about cassettes with Torah. And he says what we would assume. He says that generally we have to assume that a cassette, an audio cassette with words of Torah on it, isn't really Torah. It's not like a written Torah. It doesn't have that holiness. So it's probably not nice to play a cassette of Shiurim in a bathroom, even if I'm not listening to it. I'm saying out of respect to the words of Torah. And it's not nice to delete it unnecessarily. But More than that, we're not concerned. More than that, we say that it doesn't have that holiness of the written Torah. So if I have on the memory of a disk or on the memory of my phone the potential to bring up a lot of Torah, that doesn't give the phone that holiness which would prohibit me from bringing it into the bathroom, because the format in which it is stored is not the written format. I don't have a text like here. I have code that can produce a picture that looks like text. Now that brings us to another point, which we might as well touch on a little bit broader, and that is the whole idea of a picture of a screen. We don't treat a picture the same as the real object. So let's take a coarse example, okay? Today we have all kinds of wonderful things that people videotape and put on YouTube. So let's imagine, just for a second, you decided to put up a video of how to change a diaper. Sounds simple, but you'd be surprised how people get stuck with that. It's one of the things I do as a mohel. When I come to check the baby, so sometimes I'll give the parents a little class on how to change a diaper. So you'd think it's a simple thing. Well, it's simple, but like with everything, there are some tricks to learn. Someone's always had girls, and now they have a boy. They're not prepared that when you open the diaper, you can get wet. You know, all kinds of little things, which if you know how to, you could learn the hard way like everyone else does. But if someone has experience, they decide to show someone else, it'll save them a little bit of hassle. So let's imagine for a second you have a YouTube video showing someone how to change a diaper. Okay. Now you pause that video and you have something pretty filthy on your screen, not so nice to talk about. We know you're not allowed to daven when you have feces in the room. Would you be prohibited from davening because that's what's on the video screen? So the obvious answer is no problem, right? Because that's not the real thing. It's just a picture of it. So that applies. I purposely took a slightly funny example because other examples would be a little bit more problematic. But you guys get the picture, excuse the pun. Where's Nahum? At any rate, that's the idea. A picture is not identical to the thing itself. So even though we are limited with regards to the text of the Torah, etc., if I have a picture of it, that's not identical. Now, one could argue that if I have a physical picture of a Sefer Torah, let's say I went and visited the Sefer Torah in Tzfat, that's almost a millennium old, and I took a picture of it. Now I have a picture of Torah text. There we'd go back to the same holiness as printed material. The issue with our screens is that that's not really printed. That's a bunch of electrons showing you a picture. It's not a real picture. Okay, if you have a plasma screen, depends on whatever screen, there's a slight difference there, or a big difference there. But halachically, we treat it as the same thing. It has many implications, but we'll just mention one more. On Chol HaMoed, writing on a computer screen. You know, you're not supposed to write on Chol HaMoed, so can you type on your computer? So generally, here we go, we're slightly more stringent. We say that when it's not necessary, it's preferable not to use a computer or an iPhone, etc., on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, to write all these things. We don't view it as that lenient, like it's nothing. That's not the writing Chazal we're talking about. Because there we would say that's closer to the writing Chazal we're talking about. It's our way of writing. It's not real writing. That's true. But it's other things. And so there we would be more stringent. Same thing if a person would say, if I write on my computer on Shabbos, or I write a text message on my cell phone, did I do a biblical prohibition? You probably did. Not the one of writing. You're right. That's not the biblical form of writing, but there are other prohibitions involved. So that's why, I just to take that final application, excuse the pun. Okay, so now let's go back and review what we've discussed. Can you take in the cell phone into the bathroom? Well, if it doesn't have words of Torah on it, then it's probably okay. The same as the tape that Rabbi Feinstein spoke about, where he said that's probably okay. Does the cell phone have holiness? No. If the text of Torah is visible, then we do treat it with holiness. Text of Torah has holiness usually because of the intent of the one who wrote it. Over here, we treat it like regular printed material, where we do treat it with holiness, even though the one who wrote it had zero intent. And it's all, you know, long gone. This is a whole new production of that memory on the chip. So the memory on the chip doesn't have holiness, but the written word would have some level of holiness. We would not bring that into the bathroom. With regards, we gave a few other examples. We said that things on a screen are not the thing itself. So I could make a blessing next to a picture of something immodest or inappropriate, even though, well, I probably shouldn't, But there's no biblical prohibition. Like if a woman were standing here with her hair uncovered, I'd have a problem making a blessing when she's here. What about a picture of a woman with her hair uncovered? There I'm okay. We said the picture is not the real thing. And the last thing we discussed was the idea that writing on Chol HaMoed or on Shabbos with a cell phone might not be the biblical prohibition of writing, but it does involve other prohibitions. Okay? Okay.